We come to you again with our Bible studies in the book of Revelation. We are dealing with chapters 5 and 6, where we have the seven sealed book, which is to be opened, which starts the judgments of God upon men. You remember in chapter 4, we have the throne, which is the source of the judgment. And in chapter 5, we have the Lamb, who is the executor of the judgment. And I'm going to repeat one or two things so that you can pick up the connection of our study. In chapter 5, we have the seven sealed scroll. In verse 1, you have the scroll which was written on both sides, giving to us the revelation of God's purposes for the earth in judgment. And then we have the challenge in verses 2 to 8, who can open the book? And no one was found worthy. No man could open the book, because all have sinned and come short of his glory. There was only one worthy, and you remember John wept because no one was found worthy. And he was told, weep not, for the line of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed to open the book and to break the seal thereof. And you find our Savior of the royal line, and yet when he turned round to see, behold, he saw a lamb as it had been slain. And here you have the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, standing ready for action. I want you to mark this. He's no longer seated on the throne, advocating, representing the case of his people on earth. No longer interceding. No longer representing them. He steps forth to judge. And allow me again to say today, while I'm talking to you, in this age before the Lord Jesus comes for his own, he's on the throne praying for us, interceding on our behalf. He's representing us. He's our anchor, our hope, our forerunner, our advocate. But now the Church of Christ is in heaven. He's no longer their intercessor and advocate. There's no need for that. He steps forth to begin the judgments on the earth. And then you have in verses 8 to 14 of chapter 5, the worship and praise to the Lamb of God. All creation celebrates him taking the seven sealed scroll and opening it. And may I suggest again, think of the patience of God through the centuries. All heaven is waiting. What for? For the time when God will vindicate his people. And you'll find the worship of the Lamb around the throne. I might suggest in passing, when he was on earth, you have scorn and ridicule while he was on the cross. But now you've got the whole heavenly host worshiping the Lamb. And may I just suggest what you have here in those last few verses of the chapter. You've got the song of the redeemed, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to thyself, and so on. And then you have the praise of the angels, the myriads of angels in 11 to 12, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. And then you have the universal praise of the Lord in verses 13 to 14. And here you have the universal recognition of the Lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we have in chapter 5. And you notice he ends up with chapter 5 of the looking forward to the time when our Lord would reign over the earth as Lord of lords and of King of kings. Now when we come to chapter 6, we have the opening of the seals of this scroll or of the book. Now I'd like to read just the first two or three verses, if I may, of Revelation chapter 6. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four living ones saying, come and see. And I saw, this is John who was writing, I saw and behold a white horse, and he that sat upon him had a bow. And a crown was given unto him, and he went forth, conquering and to conquer. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast saying, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red. And power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth. They should kill one another. There was given unto him a great sword. When he had opened up the third seal, I heard the third living one say, come and see. And I beheld a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living ones, saying, a measure of wheat for a penny, 3 measures of barley for a penny, and see that you do not hurt the oil and the wine. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living one say, Come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat upon him was Death, and Hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth, to kill with the sword, with hunger, with death, and with the beasts of the earth. I'm going to stop right here, dealing with the four seals. Now, before I go into this, I would like to read to you from the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew. You remember, in the beginning of the book of Matthew, our Lord Jesus Christ was with his disciples, and they asked him a question. What will be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the age? Now mark the question. What will be the sign of thy coming and the end of the age? And when he is speaking here of his coming, he is not speaking of his coming for the church. They knew nothing about the church. He was speaking of his coming to the earth. You remember in Acts chapter 1, after the resurrection of our Savior, and you remember he was with the disciples for 40 days, teaching them things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And they asked him a question. Wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? They were still looking for this earthly kingdom when Messiah would come and reign over the nations of the earth, and when Israel would take its place under the Messiah to reign over the nations. Now this is what's in the back of their minds when they ask the question, Lord, what is the sign of thy coming and the end of the age? And Jesus said to them, Take heed that no one deceive you. Many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in many places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you. You shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake, and so on. I'm not going to go through the rest of that, except to point out in the breaking of the seals, and the book of Matthew 24, we have, I believe, here the beginning of sorrows, the beginning of the judgments of God. Now, for example, take this first one, in chapter 6, 1 to 2. One of the living ones said to John, Come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Now there are those who believe that this was the Lord Jesus Christ. Now personally, I don't believe that. I think when you come to chapter 19, starting in verse 11 and so on, you have where our Lord is coming back with the hosts of heaven, and he's coming back as a conqueror to set up his kingdom. But here we believe we have a bloodless conquest. A conqueror is crowned. Remember, we're dealing with the condition on the earth after the church has been taken away. And the great tribulation period is a time when the judgments and wrath of God are poured upon men. And these are pictures given to us intimating what's going to take place. And the first thing after the church is gone, the breaking of the first seal, was a conqueror crown, a bloodless conquest. I personally believe that here you have, when Antichrist comes and is made known on the earth, he's crowned. He's given the place of rulership. It's a bloodless conquest. It's a world without God. They want peace without Christ. Can I say it's a mock millennium? Now, you say, why, Mr. Mitchell, that couldn't be. Listen, my friend, let me tell you this. There are movements today in the world that are expecting to bring in a millennium without Christ, without the Lord. In fact, this is the aim of this humanistic philosophy today. And every time they write, this humanistic association that writes and gives their manifesto what they believe and what they want to do. It's to have God out of the picture. They want the world to be run by men without any interference from God. They don't want Christianity, they don't want Christ, they don't want God. They're going to bring in a utopian situation. Man, they claim that man is sufficient if he can only get together. If only the nations could get together and sit down and talk it over reasonably, that they have the power, if they would work together, to have a world without war. Now, you and I well know that this is the great desire of many of the nations. I think possibly this is the great desire of America. We'd like to see a world without war. And here, after the church is gone, a Satan incarnate, I believe, comes in, and it's a bloodless conquest. You take, for example, the aim of the communistic world. Even though they're trying to do it by violence, nevertheless, their aim is a world where every man will have everything he needs. But they don't want Christ. They don't want God. They believe they're going to bring it in through communism. And one could read of other groups. They want to bring in a world without war, have a time of real peace on earth without Christ, without God, without Christians. There's no question that the human heart desires peace. But my friend, this is a false peace. It's not based on righteousness. May I remind you that peace, real, genuine peace, is the result or the footage of righteousness. You have that in the book of Isaiah 32:17, which says the work of righteousness is peace, and the effect of righteousness is quietness and assurance forever. So you have here this first seal. You have a bloodless conquest, a world at peace without God, without Christ, without Christians, man himself bringing in peace. Now let's come to the second one. And when, verse 3, and when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second living one say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red. And power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, that they should kill one another. There was given unto him a great sword. Now the second one has to do with war. Now, you and I have been living in a generation where the world has had some sort of wars or threatened wars. In fact, all my lifetime, there's either been a war or a threatened war in the earth. But here is a worldwide strife. This is not just a local situation, like Vietnam or Laos or Cambodia or even France and Germany. This is a worldwide strife. No peace. A world that's full of revolutions, of destruction. And my friend, one can easily realize this. You take away the testimony of our Savior, or rule out Christ and His Word out of society, and the footage will always be lawlessness. There'll be no order. Passions will be let loose, and sin will be rampant. And I want to tell you, my friend, very, very frankly, the reason we have the condition today where we can worship the Lord, go about our business, and so forth, is because the Church of Christ is still on the earth. Our Lord could say, you are the salt of the earth. But you take away the Church of Christ. You take away the Word of God. You despise the Savior. And here you have a whole world that's rampant in sin. Lawlessness, passions are loose, revolutions, destruction. There is no peace. These are the beginnings of sorrow. A worldwide time of destruction. Now let's go to the third one. And when, verse 5, and when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third living one say, come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. I heard a voice in the midst of the four living ones say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see that you do not hurt the oil and the wine. Now the third seal is a black horse, and this speaks of famine. You have this in Matthew 24, verse 7. It could be famine. These are the beginnings of sorrow. And famine follows war and revolution. You say, that in the second seal, we had the red horse. We had war, revolutions, lawlessness, sin rampant, passions loose, strife, death, trouble. Following that, you have famine. I say this is the logical sequence to war. Famine always follows war and revolution. Oh, you say that'll never happen today. You know, Mr. Mitchell, we are so scientific. There never again will be a world famine. You know, all the Lord needs to do is to give us a summer without rain. Just hold back the heavens from having rain, and you're going to have a worldwide famine. The time has come with so great a population, we're not going to be able to supply the food. And if nations have been at war, you're going to have it followed by famine. And all the scientific research of man is not going to stop this question of a famine. Now he speaks of wheat and barley. Now that's the food of workers. We live on wheat and barley. Those word terms are used. The oil and the wine, especially in John's day, when he wrote oil and wine, this Jerry belonged to those who were rich. He said, don't touch that. I'm thinking especially of a verse in James chapter 5. Go to now, you rich men, and howl, because you have brought trouble. You've withheld things from men. You've caused trouble. The judgment of God upon the rich there when the poor are in famine. So in the third seal, you have a black horse which speaks of famine. Now notice these three things. First of all, the white horse conquering the world without war, bloodless conquest, but without Christ, without the Word of God, without the people of God, and no room for God. So you have a false millennium. You have a false utopia. And this is the desire of a great many groups, whether it be humanistic or communistic and so on. I believe here you have the beginning of the manifestation of the man of sin where he takes over without war. This is followed by the second seal, which is a red horse in verses 3 to 4, and it's followed by war, worldwide strife, the whole world in trouble, followed naturally by a famine. It always follows war and revolutions. And so I say again, you have these three things. Now when we come to the fourth one, in verses 7 and 8, we have a pale horse, which I'll take up in our next lesson. But I want you to, as you read these chapters over and over again, I want you to remember that we are discussing a period of time of the judgments of God. The child of God will not be on earth. I speak it now of those who are Christians, belong to the Church of Christ. We will not be on earth during this period of the beginning of sorrows. I believe the Church is in heaven with her Lord. He's dealing now with the nations, especially that have repudiated the Son of God and have despised the Word of God and have opposed the children of God. And these things, one just follows the other. So that when you come to the pale horse, which represents death, which we shall take up, this is the natural sequence to the first three. One just follows the other. And I wish you might read your Bibles and then thank God. If you are a Christian, you thank the Lord. You're not going to be on earth when these things take place. Because the Lord has declared we shall not come into judgment. And should I be speaking to any who are not Christians, my friend, may I say to you, if you've never taken the Savior, you're still living in a day of grace, and God is saving man. God doesn't want anybody to be lost. as 1 Timothy 2 says, he desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And as long as the Church of Christ is on earth, God is still pleading with individuals to accept his precious Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as their own personal Savior, as the one who died to put away their sin by the sacrifice of himself, and guarantees that salvation in his resurrection. And the Lord bless you today.